BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk on VCY America. WND.com is reporting that Iran has hoisted the red flag of war over one of the country's holiest mosques. The banner was raised Saturday over the Jamkaran Mosque on the outskirts of the Iranian city of Qom. The blood-red standard flying from one of the mosque minarets is a symbol for spilled blood and a call for revenge in Shia Islam, according to The Sun, a UK-based newspaper. Well, since the explosive killing, Iran has made it clear that they will retaliate. Are we about to see an all-out war break out? What does the Bible say about a future war in this region? Well, joining us today with a prophetic look at the Middle East, we welcome back Dr. Gary Frazier. He's a respected speaker and writer on the subject of Bible prophecy, the founder and president of Discovery Missions. He's the author of numerous books, including one we've discussed previously, Miracle of Israel, subtitled The Shocking Untold Story of God's Love for His People. Dr. Frazier, welcome back to Crosstalk.
Hey, Dave, always a joy to be with you. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, as tensions are heightening in the Middle East, there are threats, as you know, of retaliation against the United States and her interest. President Trump has warned, don't go down that road. Dr. Frazier, you've been observing what's taken place here since a U.S. drone strike ordered against the Iranian general, Qassem Soleimani. Give us your analysis, first of all, of what we see taking place here and now.
Well, first of all, Dave, I want to tell you that...
And just by way of correction, I know you've done many shows, but my name is Jim.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. What am I thinking about? I know you well.
Yes, you do.
I am. You know what? I just had a phone call from a guy named Dave. You know, you just got to love old people. Well, anyway, Jim, it's great to be with you. I have to tell you that I'm in sunny Florida here. Just had lunch with some wonderful friends of ours, Gary and Nancy Jenkins, and we were talking about this a little bit. But, yeah, in talking about what's happened here is that, you know, the Middle East, of course, for as long as I can remember, ever since 1948 when Israel became a nation again, has always been a political powder keg, and basically we just look for who's going to light the next match. But here's really the situation that I think that we have to understand. If we are to properly perceive what's going on in the world today, with the Middle East in particular, we can't do it without understanding what's happening in America as well. But mm-hmm. That said, the only reliable source that we have for that information to really get our arms around it, to grasp it, is the Word of God itself. Because God is timeless, He's eternal. God has a beginning and an end, a plan. And as we understand His plan, then we can understand what's happening, where we are, and where we're going. And I think that's imperative for people to realize that there is a plan. I am not frightened. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned about the threats coming from Iran. And today, when they hoisted the red flag calling for warfare, to me, that's an invitation to a party that nobody's coming to. Mm. Because the reality is that Iran has come to understand that they're no longer dealing with the past administration, that they now have a president who understands that his primary function is to provide for safety as best as he can, utilizing all of the tools available to him of the American people. And Soleimani, as you know, and probably our listeners have been paying attention to what's happening as well, Jim, but the bottom line is he was responsible for the death and maiming of untold numbers of American, not just soldiers, but citizens as well, who were caught in the fray. And I will tell you, this was a courageous act on our president. It was the right act by our president and the intelligence community, and it was based on good intelligence. And so, you know, the people who, as I listen to all these talking heads, you know, especially on the left, who are condemning the president, I got to tell you, if you condemn what the president done, what it meant is that you then are supporting terrorists, basically. Hmm. And so, as we get an opportunity to look further into the Word of God today, I just want to put my personal stamp of approval on what the president did. It was the right thing to do. It was the right time to do it. In fact, this man should have been taken out long ago. And so it was well past time for him to go.
Now, you mentioned, Dr. Frazier, that we also need to have an understanding of what's happening in America. And one of the things I observe what's happening in our own nation is we've got leadership taking place in the political system today that is trying to undercut the president and undercut and undermine the very decisions that he made that brought us to this point.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things it shows us is really for, I'm not going to say for the first time in our history, but we have not had very many occasions in our history where political people who are motivated purely by politics and polls as opposed to what is right and what is in the best interest of America, very few times have we had people in political positions of power virtually side with the enemy. In fact, I mean, yes, we have in America the freedom of speech, and everybody is entitled to their opinion, and that's true. But when you have people, duly elected officials, who are condemning the president for taking out a terrorist and choosing to condemn him because he didn't telegraph ahead of time what he was going to do, because there are no secrets anymore in Washington, D.C., unfortunately. And that said, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, do you love power and politics more than you love America and the protection of American lives and American servicemen, et cetera? Now, their argument would be that we've endangered our servicemen. Listen, our servicemen are there to do a job, and they've been doing it, and they are going to continue to do it. But the bottom line is that when you have a person who is planning attacks, there's no question that the president had incredible intelligence, that he and Secretary of State Pompeo, as well as our entire Defense Department, had in clear intelligence of why Soleimani was back in Baghdad again. And that was he was planning and orchestrating attacks against Americans, against our embassy there, and so forth and so on, to a heightened degree. And I'm going to tell you, based on that information and the threat to American citizens, our president did what he should have done, and he acted. I just want to commend our president for stepping up and doing what he needed to do in the interest of America. And I will tell you, President Donald Trump, although not any of us, I'm sure, agree with everything that he says and everything he does, he is a president who has made promises. He's kept those promises. I expect a landslide victory in November of 2020 as the left gets farther and farther into socialism and basically complete total craziness with total disregard for common sense. And I just appreciate the fact that, you know, that he did what he did.
Dr. Gary Frazier with us here today on Crosstalk. Dr. Frazier, do you see what's unfolding before our eyes today as a precursor of things to come?
Well, I think, Jim, what we have to ponder is that, you know, first of all, where can we find reliable information? So let's step back a moment and realize that as followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus himself answered questions by the disciples concerning future events. And he said that there's going to be wars, there'll be rumors of wars, etc., but the end has not yet come. And he talked about how, and you and I have discussed this on previous programs, and I'm sure most of our listeners are aware, but I don't assume anything anymore at this point in my life. And that is, Jesus said that all of these things would be the beginning of birth pains. And so, in other words, the closer it gets to the consummation of the age, the closer it gets to the time of the end, then the more we're going to see with frequency and intensity, and those are two very important words that every believer should remember.
Yes.
That we get, the closer we get, then the greater we have a frequency of events or proclaimed by Christ in Scripture, and with greater intensity. So while we have seen, and by the way, we've also talked about this, but let me just remind our listeners that the key to all of this, of course, was the rebirth of Israel on May 14th of 1948.
Mm-hmm.
That positioned the beginning of what is the last days in Scripture. And so what we've seen since then is we've seen increased concentrations of every single thing that mentioned by Jesus, famine, earthquake, pestilence, ethnic strife, wars, rumors of wars, etc., since 1948. We have seen this with frequency and intensity. Therefore, what we're watching now is the intensification of this threat to not only America, but to Israel. And after all, let me be clear, the extermination of the nation of Israel is really Iran's primary goal. Now, they'd love to see us go, because we're tied to them, because we both have a Judeo-Christian ethic based on the teaching of the Word of God. But the reality of it is that they're even talking about what they may or may not do in Israel. But the truth is, they are terrified. They're terrified, number one, because they realize there has never been a president since Harry Truman who has stood with the nation of Israel like Donald Trump has and is. And they realize that if they were to do anything to Israel, America would unleash the most powerful military in the world against them. Now, the president has, as you know, outlined 52 targets, which he's not told anyone what they are, but we can certainly understand that it would be infrastructure, military, and various other kinds of things. The Iranians are aware of this. Now they're trying now, while they still, you see, rhetoric is the name of the game in the Middle East. You talk big, but you walk very softly, because when you have a leader that you know will react to that. So they're shooting their mouth off right now. They've gotten away with that in the past. They realized after Soleimani was taken out that this is not the same game it was before then. So now they're still going to make idle threats, but that's what they are. They're idle threats. And they're trying to ramp up some people when, in fact, in Iran today, there are thousands, if not millions, of Iranians who are not chanting death to America. They're praising us for what this president did, because they hate the reigning mullahs themselves.
Well, Iran, as you mentioned, they have threatened that if President Trump strikes these 52 Iranian targets, they have said recently that the Israeli cities of Haifa and Tel Aviv, they're going to be decimated. They're going to be brought to dust. They're going to be brought down to ground level. And previously, they've threatened to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Will they ever be successful in carrying this out?
No. One of the things that the Iranians need to understand is, and unfortunately they won't do this, but it would be greatly to their benefit if they were to contact an evangelical Christian believer who has studied the Word of God and just ask the question, should we go against Israel, do we have a chance of success? And we would tell them, based on the Creator God, who, whether you want to acknowledge the fact that he's not Allah, his name is Jehovah Yahweh.
Amen.
But but regardless of that, understand that he said, if you do this, you'll get wiped off. You yourself will get wiped off the face of the map. And we'll get into Ezekiel 38 and 39 right in just a minute to talk further about that. But I want to say this clearly. The president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, does not want to go to war. I want our listeners to understand this. He does not want to go to war. He's identified, along with our intelligence department, Secretary of State, Defense, others, 52 key targets. Those targets will be hit if Iran escalates this situation.
Yeah.
Now, if Iran doesn't do anything else, they're okay. They step outside these boundaries, he'll act.
We're going to take a quick break here. Dr. Gary Frazier is our guest, and we're going to come back and talk about this forthcoming battle as described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now some people say that they don't believe in God because they can't see him. Is this a legitimate argument?
No, I don't think it is, Chris. Now, it does take faith to believe in God, but we see all sorts of evidence of him. We see the results of what he has done. We see many truths in the Bible verified by science and history, and thus have a good reason to have faith in the rest. Chris, it amuses me to see so many people believing in aliens. We've never seen an alien. We've searched the heavens with fine detail and can find no clue that anything is out there. But they'll believe in aliens before they believe in God. Life is so complex that it must have been created. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Gary Fraser is with us today. By the way, his website, GaryFraser.com, GaryFraser.com, talking about the Middle East and Bible prophecy. And Dr. Fraser, let's go to Ezekiel 38 and 39. It speaks of a forthcoming battle to this region. Lay out for us the details that Scripture has for us in this coming event. Who are the major players? What takes place in this prophetic battle?
Well, I think one of the things, Jim, that we want to take a look at today and so forth is just remind our listeners that, you know, the eternal God obviously knows the future, and he's the only one that does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, God says, "For I am God, and there is none other. I'm God, and there is none like me," declaring or making known the end from the beginning. So God has already been to the end of all time. So for him, he's looking back on history. The future is the past to him. And so if we want to know something about the future, we certainly don't want to grab a Ouija board. We don't want to call somebody who claimed to read palms and forecast the future, because they never know what the future holds. But God does. And so in Ezekiel chapter 38, 2,500 years ago, about 500 years before Jesus came to this earth in the form of a man, God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, and he gave us information concerning several things. And one of the things I think we have to understand is that the Bible itself, in total, prophesies three future wars. And so our listeners need to understand that there are going to be three future wars named in Scripture. The first happens to be a conflict that is oftentimes referred to as the Gog-Magog War. Now, Gog is an interesting word. It simply comes from the Hebrew Rosh, which means head of, and Magog is a country. Now, we're first introduced to this back over on the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10, that is, to the Magogians, and by process of just doing our due diligence and study today, we can go back and look at ancient maps and learn that the land of Magog is what we know as Russia today. And so what the Bible basically teaches us is that at some point in the future, that is, when I say in the future, meaning 2,500 years ago when this prophecy was given to Ezekiel, that there would be a time in the last days when a leader of an ancient country, Magog / Russia, would rise up and would lead a coalition of nations to attempt to destroy the Jewish people in the land of Israel, to wipe them off the face of the map. Now, we've heard this rhetoric from the Iranians many, many times,
mm-hmm.
but what we have to understand is that today we do have Russia, who is a major, major, major player in the Middle East. They have positioned themselves in Syria. They have signed a military pact with Tehran, that is, the Iranians. They have their own interest involved in doing all these things, of course, for the betterment of their own people, their own nation, economically and so forth. But having said all that,
Dr. Fraser, let me just interject this, because what's interesting,
sure.
We're going to the end of 2019, we've got Russia and China joining Iran in this 4-day combined naval exercise. They had warships
right.
from Russia, Communist China, the Islamic Republic of Iran, all participating in these naval maneuvers together. Wow, there's some significance to that.
Well, there certainly is. And so my point in this is, we should not be surprised that Russia is making a power move, because remember, wherever there is a vacuum, someone or some country will attempt to fill that vacuum. And that's what we're actually seeing today in Iran as well. In Iraq, because the weakness of the Iraqi government has allowed the Iranians to move in a real powerful way, to the point that Iraq is basically, you know, becoming a proxy of Iran now. And so what we've got is, but sticking to the word, is we have an active leader in Russia who seeks to form a coalition. Well, it just so happens that in the Word of God, God outlines the coalition. And he tells us the coalition members as they're named in Scripture. The very first one mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 5. Now, for our listeners, remember, it's Ezekiel 38, verse 5. Now, why am I making a point of this? It's because every January 1st, people have a tendency to say, that is, Christians, well, you know what, this is the year that I'm going to read through the Bible.
Hmm.
And they do pretty well through Genesis and Exodus. And then they get to Leviticus chapter 1. And so many of them at that point, after they read a few verses of Leviticus, they say, whoa, wait a minute, I don't get it, all these rules and regs and laws, and I don't understand that. They jump all the way over into the book of Matthew and say, oh, now this I can understand. Well, the problem is that if you don't know the old, you're not going to do very well with the new. And unfortunately today, we don't know much about the Old Testament because, frankly, to understand and comprehend these passages of Scripture, it takes real prayerful Bible study. It takes us going to the throne of grace and asking that the Lord God would allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher as He promised that He would, and to lead us and guide us and direct us into truth. And so we have to read these passages over and over and over again. And as we do, the Spirit of God begins to work in our heart and life and helps us to come to understand what this means and how it matters to us today. And by the way, let me just in parenthesis add this. We do not believe in progressive revelation. God has said what He wants to say to us in the 66 books that we hold in our hand called the Word of God.
Amen.
However, we do believe in progressive illumination. For example, in the book of Daniel, Daniel was told twice in chapter 12 of Daniel, close up and seal the words of this scroll slash this book until, and that's a great preposition, until the time of the end. And many will go to and fro in their knowledge slash understanding shall be increased. So while we don't believe in progressive revelation, we do understand that as time goes on, we are able to comprehend and understand biblical truth in a way that previous generations have not. And so we're able to understand as we look at the Word of God talking about Gog of Magog, and then in verse 5, as I mentioned a moment ago, Persia, which is the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Iran. Mm-hmm.
And then you've got it mentions, as you know, Cush, which is southern Africa, Put, which is northern Africa. Put founded the northern continent, part of Africa, like Libya, Morocco, and so forth and so on. And then it goes on to talk about that you have Gomer, which is a part of what we have, which currently is a part of modern-day Turkey, with all of its truth, Beth Togarmah, which is Turkey as well. And from the far north, and it talks about how these nations are going to come together, and they are going to launch a military strike against the nation of Israel for the purpose of wiping them off the face of the map. Now, this we know to be true, okay? So these things typically do not occur overnight. Why? Well, how do we know that? Well, first of all, Iran and America had a very good relationship in the past until we decided to get rid of the Shah of Iran. And when we did that, the country then fell into the hands of the extremist Muslims and those who are part of the Twelvers group, who believe the 12th descendant of Muhammad disappeared and is going to return in the last days and so forth and so on. But he won't come back until or unless there is this great destructive event, which Iran thinks that if they'll do this, then this Mullah will return again to elevate Islam to a prominent position in the world. We know that's absolutely not going to happen. In fact, the reverse is going to happen, which we'll talk in detail about in a minute. But that said, we should be expecting these things to progress incrementally along the way as God sets the world stage for what I believe is the second greatest event in human history, and we're on the threshold of that. And that event is what I call the coming of Christ for the saints. Because remember, I just said a moment ago, there's going to be three future wars.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that God's Word lays it out, to my understanding of my 50-plus years of studying the Word of God, is that Christ is coming to claim His bride, to fulfill His promise, to take us to the Father's house. Every saved person taken instantaneously out of this earth. Then that event will prepare the way for the evil forces of Iran to think, well, wait a minute, all of these people are missing. There's chaos and confusion in America, although there will be people from all nations, even Muslims, who have put their faith and trust in Christ And they're going to be taken out too. But the bottom line is, the result of that event will be chaos and confusion, and that will allow then these leaders to say now would be the time to strike the nation of Israel, because America and the world is caught up in all this other stuff and they're not paying the attention. We're going to wipe the Jews off the face of the map. That brings about this war, this Ezekiel 38-39 war called the War of Gog and Magog. 7 years after, somewhat in the neighborhood of 7 years after that event, there will be a second war, and that's in Revelation 16, chapter 16, verse 16, called, and most people are familiar with this term, Armageddon. And that will be an event where Jesus Christ, who came and claimed his bride, where we went up to meet him in the air, he took us to the Father's house a little over seven years before. Now we're going to come back with him. This will be the second coming of Christ when he physically, visibly comes to the earth. That will bring about the battle, quote-unquote, which is not much of a battle, because with a word from the mouth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he destroys his enemies. But that said, there will then be the beginning of a 1,000-year reign of peace on earth. Oddly enough, at the end of that 1,000 years, there will be yet a final third conflict. And that also confuses people, because the terms Gog and Magog are used there in Revelation 20, verse 5 and following. But it's two different things, two different conflicts entirely, different players, different leaders, and so forth and so on, and certainly different consequences. And so the bottom line is, we have three future wars. We are moving toward these things. And here's the key. Remember the words, frequency, intensity.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing these things happen. The process is speeding up as we approach the soon coming of Jesus. And what this conflict in Iran, between Iran and America, is telling me, hey, you better be looking up and listening up, because he's coming, and he's coming sooner than most people think.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Frazier, you've used those words often, frequency and intensity, and one of the things that we've been observing is the noticeable rise in frequency and intensity in anti-Semitism. It's on the increase in many European countries. It's a noticeable increase here in the United States. Does this fit into this growing hatred against Israel as well, that is going to lead us toward those times?
Well, it does, and because let me set a scenario for you. Who are the friends of Israel? Basically, the friend of Israel really are the evangelical Bible believing Christians who have by faith committed themselves to Jesus Christ. We have an affinity with Israel. Why? Because we believe the Word of God. We believe Genesis chapter 12, when God said to Abraham, "Those who bless you, I will bless; those who curse you, I will curse." We understand that our country was born and based on the Word of God, the Bible. That's been our guidebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we came. God brought us into existence to be the greatest mission-sending nation on the face of the earth, to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ and his love and forgiveness and compassion to the world, but secondly, to be a safe haven for the Jewish people. America has been a friend of the Jews. Just look at what happens in the United Nothing. I'm sorry, I meant to say United Nations. Look what happens in the United Nations. They rail against the nation of Israel. Let's pick up on that after the break, can't we?
Then we sure can. Dr. Gary Frazier with us here today on Crosstalk, talking about the Middle East and Bible prophecy. And folks, those key words of frequency and intensity. Are you observing what's taking place? Are you understanding of the times in which we live? We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk. James 4:14 poses this thought, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, "But I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values." While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, "Where Will You Spend Eternity?" To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Dr. Gary Fraser. His website, GaryFraser.com. We're talking about the Middle East and Bible prophecy, and unfolded in part the teachings from Ezekiel 38 and 39, that Battle of Gog and Magog war coming. Just unfolding right now this issue of anti-Semitism, which is greatly on the increase, Dr. Fraser, and it's happening on many levels. I mean, we're seeing it happen not only between nations, but it's really coming to the college campus as well.
Well, it is, and you know, there is an open assault nowadays on Jewish people. Now, so much of the world hates the Jews, and they don't even know why. They just do. They don't understand that there is a spiritual war that is being engaged in. Satan is leading his minions to attack Jewish people wherever they may be found. And the truth is that our universities today have become so culturally diverse that they've lost their minds, basically. But Jewish students are targets on campus. They're targets in synagogues. We know what happened just recently in New York. It's happened in Florida as well. I mean, all over the country, we have the highest number of anti-Semitic attacks occurred in the year 2019, according to recent numbers. I tell you that this is another indicator of how close we are to the last days. Now, immediately people would say, but yes, what about the Holocaust? Yes, the Holocaust was a horrible event, but the nation of Israel was not back in their land at that point in time. There was no Israel on the map during the years of the Holocaust. Now Israel is back. That's a game changer. That marks the beginning of the terminal generation. And so from 1948 on, what we're seeing is a continual, steady increase in anti-Semitism across the world. But here's what's unique about this. In America, we've never had elected officials who have come out with such anti-Semitic attacks.
Yes.
By leaders and by elected officials. This is amazing. Ilhan Omar, she receives the award for we were just talking about that. She received the award for the chief anti-Semitic leader, I guess it is, of 19. You've got AOC and her comments and so forth. You've got Rashid Tlaib. I mean, the list goes on. They're the primary ones. But here's what's interesting. How many people ignorantly agree with them and side with them? That's what's amazing. Instead of calling them out and demanding, you see, it's one thing to dislike someone. It's another when you want to target an entire nation and people for extinction. And people don't call you out on that. Something is very wrong with that. And that's why I say it is a spiritual conflict between God and Satan. And this battle has been going on since the beginning of time, especially since God brought the Jewish people into existence in Genesis chapter 12 with the birth of Isaac. So we're seeing an increase. And you know what? We expect that. Across Europe today, Europe has become pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel. For the most part, look at what's happened. I mentioned this a moment ago. Look what happens in the United Nations. They will have, basically on every issue, they will have United States and Micronesia will stand together, and maybe one or two others periodically. But for the most of the time, the United Nations has become a forum for anti-Semitism. And they pass resolutions against Israel.
Against Israel more than all the other nations combined.
Totally. And here's what's interesting. Out of Israel, the most amazing accomplishments are coming forth. Just today, Israel announced that they have now developed an eye drop that can restore people's vision. No LASIK, no glasses, no contacts. And I am telling you that the advances in cancer and various other diseases that are being researched and developed in Israel are mind-boggling. Mm. And let me just make this interesting comment, and I know this firsthand because of, you know, I've been to the Middle East now well over 150 times, and I will tell you that when Muslim leaders become ill, do you know where they end up going?
They go to Israel
to the Israeli hospitals, primarily the Hadassah Medical Center and so forth. And so it's mind-boggling to me how the very people that they curse on the one hand, they turn around and reach out or compassion on the other.
Wow. Friends, our phone lines are open, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Dr. Frazier, when we observe what's taking place, we see the threats that are going back and forth. What should believers in Christ be doing in such a time as this?
Well, I think first of all and foremost, I hear people say, well, the only thing I can do is pray. That's not the only thing you should be doing. That's the first thing you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And all of us need to, first of all, humble ourselves before God and seek His face in prayer and asking for His divine guidance and leadership and to be able to understand and comprehend what's happening. We also need to pray for the safety of the people of Israel. The Word of God tells us that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, even though we know that there will not be total peace until the Prince of Peace returns once again. But we also need to be praying for our president and for his family. We need to be, and by the way, it's shocking to me that the people that thought it was humorous to see the graphic or cartoon, if you please, of the president being assassinated, how absolutely utter satanic that is. That said, praying for him, praying for Vice President Pence and his family, praying for our leadership, praying that the people in Congress and the Senate would get their heads on straight, those that are choosing to side with terrorists and so forth, not because we're trying to be political. We're praying because people's lives are at stake. And the bottom line is that, and the other thing that we need to pray for also, by the way, we need to be sure that daily we pray for our men and women in uniform that are on the front lines where these issues are taking place and so forth. But more importantly, you know, we often forget this, when the disciples asked them, they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and in the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Thy will be done." And the truth of the matter is, we want to just pray that God's will be accomplished for his glory. His eternal plan for the ages will take place, and we need to have an understanding of and a willingness to accept that. Jim, I need to make this comment, and I hope our listeners will really take this to heart. We as Christians oftentimes talk about the coming of Christ, and we act like, in many ways, that we really do, we're longing for that, we want Him to come, but in reality, we really don't. You know, I'm at a place at my age in my lifetime that, you know, I look at this sin-sick, perverted world, and I long, as Paul said, my desire is to depart and to be with Him, and mm-hmm. I long for that time. Now, I'm going to keep working and occupying until he comes and takes me home. But the truth of the matter is, I really question how many believers really do daily say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." You know, that was the battle cry, if you please, of the early church. Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've fallen in love with the world so much, Jim, that I don't really think that we think heaven's all that great. And I will tell you, that concerns me greatly.
Yeah.
Because while we say with our lips that we want him to come, we live our lives as though he's never coming. Hmm. And I will tell you that when we can begin to understand that Jesus Christ is going to come in a moment, suddenly, without warning, and that we're going to meet him, and I got to tell you, the question I ask people is this: are you ready? Because you never know. Our lives are but a vapor. Here one moment, gone the next.
Yep.
It may be in death. But it's also going to be a generation of people that are going to be caught up in the clouds to meet him, and they're going to be those, I'm afraid, who are going to be shocked, who have a religion but not a relationship, and they find all of a sudden that they've been left behind.
Hmm. Wow. Lines are packed here. Let's go to the phone calls today. Brian is calling in from Washington. You're on the air, Brian.
Oh, are you there?
Go ahead, Brian. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I was just thinking of listening to your conversation there. It's kind of interesting. I heard yesterday that Israel signed a pact with Cyprus and Greece about the Leviathan gas pipe going there, and obviously that's going to aggravate Turkey. I think this whole thing is going to come down to a point where the only way they're going to get attacked is if America is disabled somehow. Do you think that it's possible that a sneak EMP from Russia destabilizing America could happen in the future?
Thank you, Brian.
Well, Brian, first of all, anything can happen. Yes, we have the electromagnetic pulse bomb. So does Russia. So does China. And so bottom line is, could something like that happen? Yes. As we read Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, we see what happens as a result of this conflict. But one of the most important things we have to remember is that God himself intervenes in this conflict. God is not going to allow the Jewish people to be destroyed, because God is going to finish his business with unbelieving Israel during the tribulation period. You know, the Bible's clear. Daniel's 70th week is a 2,520-day period when God pours out 21 successive judgments upon the Christ-rejecting, Jew-hating world and upon Jews who have rejected the Messiah. And so the bottom line is, God is not going to allow all of Israel to be destroyed. And so there's a number of things that may or may not be happening. You know, we can understand technology today and modern warfare, like as I said a moment ago, utterly better than previous generations, obviously. So anything could happen to America. But I will tell you this, that in the aftermath of the departure of the Church of Jesus Christ, I see that as the window of opportunity for this all-out assault. I do not believe that Iran is as crazy as the mullahs are. They are not crazy enough to attack Israel while America stands firm. But you take all the believers out of America, there will be no will to stand in the gap for Israel. And so in addition to that, there could be, in that same time frame, there certainly could be, because we know we have terrorist cells here, we know that we are at a constant threat level, and so anything could happen. So good question, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Let's go to Germantown, Wisconsin. Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just wondering why I keep hearing that so many of the Jewish people in America are voting Democratic, and it seems to me that's contrary to almost everything that is logical.
Okay.
Lynn, first of all, that's a very astute observation. One of the things that we've learned is that most of the Jewish people in America are vastly different. And I want to be careful here. I'm not trying to be offensive to anyone, but I want to say this. Having traveled to Israel as many times as I have through the years, I have seen a very stark difference between Israelis, that is, those who were born in the land of Israel, who have grown up and lived there, and American Jewry. Okay, so there's a difference between those two. And in America today, we tend to, now, so let me build on that a moment and say, go back to Israel. What do we have? We have Benjamin Netanyahu, a very strong conservative leader who would, in our case, would be considered to be a Republican, let's just say, all right? So he's a conservative leader of the Likud party, which is the conservative party. And so the majority of Israelis follow that leadership, that government. Here in America, they do a flip-flop. They're on the other side, and they tend to be on the left and more liberal. They tend to have this idea that that you can negotiate with terrorism. Now, part of the reason they have that idea is that they were not born in Israel. They did not go through the War of 48, 67, the Attrition War of 70 to 73, nor the Yom Kippur War of 73. They were not there for Lebanon in 81 and 82 and so forth in the subsequent battles. So they have a different mindset than the Israelis do. So with that, we're going to have to leave it. So
Thank you.
Praying they'll come over to the right side.
Thank you, Lynn, for the call. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Crosstalk. For the Worldview Week in a Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Continue our series on the dangers of discourse, not the dangers of debate, not the dangers of conversation, but the danger of discourse or dialogue, where you seek to merge your values, your worldview, your convictions with that of a Islamist or Marxist. We learned, number one, that when you do this, you're embracing their language, like white privilege and white supremacy or racism, which are all loaded terms now. Number two, you're accepting their premise that there's something wrong with your position to start with. Number three, you are rejecting your own convictions and you're accepting their premise that there is not absolute truth. In other words, you're admitting their premise.
By engaging the idea that you can have discourse or dialogue and merge your worldview and values with theirs, you're saying there is not absolute truth. You're agreeing that there is social Darwinian philosophies or ideas, that as society evolves, morals evolve, the law evolves. Don't do it.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Dr. Gary Frazier, taking a look at the Middle East, Bible prophecy, and taking your calls today on the program. Let's go right back to the phone lines with Tom being our next caller. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, the late Paul Harvey said that socialism has been defeated everywhere except on the college campus. We now have a Jewish candidate that is promoting socialism. Can you tell us biblically why we should resist socialism?
Thank you.
Well, I think, first of all, that's a loaded question, but one of my good friends, in fact, my pastor, Dr. Jack Graham of Prestonwood Church in Plano, Texas, a suburb of Dallas, recently taught a message simply outlining why Christianity and socialism are not compatible. And he gave a rather long list, and I would encourage you to go to prestonwood.org and listen to that message, because it was one of the most thorough presentations that I've ever heard of the incredible, very distinct differences and why socialism is not at all compatible with Christianity. So for Bible-believing Christians, and I'll just tell you this, the Bible, just to give you a very short principle, if you do not work, you don't eat. Well, the bottom line is, in socialism, everybody supposedly has a job, but nobody really works that hard, and you can see that as a result. I saw it in Russia just before communism fell there. The truth of the matter is, the only people that are in favor of socialism are those who have not lived under it. And so good luck to Bernie Sanders, because America is not there on the socialistic page yet. They're misreading and misunderstanding the American people. While young people may think it's all going to be wonderful because everything is free, they do not have a clue. And fortunately, they're not in the majority yet.
Steve is calling from
the call, Tom.
Steve from Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Gary. Hey, Gary, you were talking about people saying they're ready to go to heaven and ready to meet the good Lord. Are they really? You know, I ask that question too, and I really have to, you know, back in the future, quite a few years ago, I asked that about myself, and it brought me close to the Lord, because I seen I wasn't where I should have been. The thing about it is, when this all happens, there's going to be a lot of people left behind, and that's where my heart and soul lies. So those people that are left that have to be tribulation saints, my heart's broken for them, because there is going to be a lot of sadness and a lot of torture and a lot of bad times coming. And one other thing, you know, as far as the frequency intensity of things coming, yes, we see that, but you know what? We still don't know when this is all going to happen. It could be very long in the future. It could be tomorrow. And you know what? You always have to be ready. This is what I mean to say. You have to be ready, because you don't know when your last breath is going to be drawn.
Well, I agree with everything you've said, except I don't think it's going to be very long in the future. Now, when you talk about long, that's a relative term. But I do think that because of the fact that Jesus himself spoke about how the generation that sees the rebirth of the state of Israel, Matthew 24, 36 and following, or 32 and following, and I think, and we are the generation that has seen the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And in fact, there's a free download if you want to go to my website at GaryFrazier.com and download a PowerPoint thing that's called The Terminal Generation. And you might enjoy doing that. Great call, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Michelle in Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes, I was listening to a program before with you guys, and I came across the information that there's roughly about this is for Dr. Frazier, roughly about a million immigrants from Russia in Israel, and that's part of what caused the issues when the elections was going on. And I was wondering if he connected those dots with what he believes, and many of us believe, about Russia being the lead in trying to take over Israel one way or the other, whether it be as a Trojan horse inside with the immigrants there or with, you know, initiating the wars like they're trying and so forth.
Well, Michelle, just to respond to that, first of all, there is a large Russian community in Israel, but remember, most of these people have fled the tyranny and socialism of Russia. I personally don't see that as being a Trojan horse situation. I don't believe they were sent there. In fact, most of them fought like crazy to get out of the country and get into Israel.
So I wouldn't necessarily think that it would be a Trojan horse situation, but, you know, it's certainly an interesting thought. Most of the Russians that I know that are in Israel were Russian Jews who fled, and as you know, under communism, they were not allowed to leave. And so now that when the wall came down, we had a large, large influx of Russian Jewish people coming into the state of Israel. But they're there because they want to live in freedom, not under tyranny.
Thank you for
the call, though.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate that. We're down to just a couple minutes. I'd like to bring up one other issue here, Dr. Frazier, and that is bringing Islam into this discussion. You referred to the Mahdi, Imam coming. Islam often referred to as the religion of peace, yet we have a senior Iranian lawmaker who's chair of the Iranian Parliament National Security and Foreign Policy Commission saying that if the U.S. targets these 52 sites, then he said that we will hit a number of U.S. targets that will be as many as the number of the verses in the Holy Quran, end of quote. That's over 6,200 verses. Comment on that statement from the so-called religion of peace.
Well, again, first of all, to call Islam a religion of peace is not only a lie, it's a joke, because history bears proves that to be false.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do away with their history. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, no matter how they might deny it, they can't do away with it. That said, this is a lot of just mouthing, quite honestly. This is rhetoric. This is just over-the-top talk. Iran is not about to step up and hit the United States of America. Remember this. Donald Trump said, we're taking this guy out to avert a war. In other words, to bring to an end the man who is planning attacks that would cause, ultimately, a war. That said, we don't want a war, and I'll tell you this, Iran doesn't want a war. So because they know that the only way that these 52 targets will be hit is if they come against us. If they attack us, we will. This is one thing about Donald Trump. He said it in the campaign. He said it under all through his term as president. You hit me or you hit us, we're going to hit back. So as long as they don't do anything stupid, we're not going to hit those 52 targets. But the president of the United States said, we've identified 52. We want you to know this. And that said, then they can talk all they want about they're going to do this and they're going to do that. But my personal opinion is they're not going to do anything. I agree with former Ambassador Nikki Haley. She said today that the Iranians are quaking in their boots.
Wow. GaryFrazier.com.
Here's the bottom line. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Let's keep looking for him.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself,
yes,
even as he is pure. Thank you so much, Dr. Frazier, for being with us today.
Jim, it's always a blessing to be with you. God bless you.
And folks, the website, check it out, GaryFrazier.com. Let's stay in prayer for this nation. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.